The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Good morning, Sovereign Mind. It's Sunday once again, November 12th, 2023. You know, it's almost, we're going into the holiday season. It's almost Thanksgiving, and Christmas is on the way. It's like, wow, this year has just been a blur. And
it has.
I don't know.
You think it's going to go faster? I do.
It's the quickening. It's like, and there shall be only one.
Now,
just like,
we're in
crap.
The vortex now, folks.
Highlander,
I'm telling you.
Highlander part two. I don't know. It's just crazy. It really is. Anyway, my name is Mark Kent, and I'm your host. I'm here in the great state of Jefferson with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning, everybody.
And our kid that rocks around the clip.
Our kid? I don't know. Now they'll have something to talk about. Oh, it's their kid.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, Dad.
Hang on to your hat, Donnie.
He says, if he goes, hi, Dad.
I'm just saying.
What? Anyway, the kid that rocks around the clock, our kid, so to speak, faster than a spinning internet connection, and here he is right now, Dave Johnson, Cyber Dave.
Good morning.
There you have it.
He's not speeding yet. He hasn't got his drink all the way down.
This is
give him a few
one.
Minutes. Oh, I should have known better.
Yeah.
Should have known better on that one.
What are those?
So this is an energy tea. It's called Sati Soda, but it's got ashwagandha root in it, and it's got
how
a
much
bunch
caffeine?
Of
guarana and caffeine.
Oh yeah,
caffeine, 85 milligrams. I don't know. I'm just
ingredient X.
X.
Hey, you know what? As long as it keeps you going, better wire than fire. That's what I always say.
I guess. And our producer, Christina, is back at the helm and doing a great job.
Yes.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Let's see. I guess
and just forewarning before we get started, if you call up and cuss at our producer, she will hang up on you.
Well, there you have it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Brought to you by Julie Foster. Yeah, I know. It's like, you got to say that.
I got to say that. Yeah.
It's like, yeah, because there's some people out there that their headband's a little too tight. Julie Foster, Allstate, not Julie Foster. We're brought to you by Julie Foster.
Yeah, let's get some distinction going here.
Allstate Insurance Agent, 810 Main Street, Red Bluff, California, 530-527-5534. She's the best, and we'll take care of all your insurance needs. Thank you for turning off the display cabinet. And Luke Pearson Construction, Custom Homes and Excavating, 530-605-9575, licensed and bonded. And also, Jeff Wurst.
At Crackmaster, you're in good hands with the owner with Jeff Wurst over there. He has 30 years of experience in windshield repair.
There you go. Shout
yeah,
out
he's to within, you know, does it within 500 miles. He's the best within 500 miles, I should say. If you want to visit him, see him at 3208 East Market Street or call 530-241-8373.
Shout out to Marty McGill, Deer Creek Microgreens, also mountaintopmedia.com. We did post a couple more shows this last week. I think we're on tomorrow, too. I'm not sure what we're going to talk about. But I'm sure we'll find something.
Yeah, I kind of have a good idea about Shasta County.
Could be. You never know what's going on out there. The voter, I don't know. Things are just crazy.
yeah, we got. I did, not that the ROV is off the charts, but I'm just saying.
No, they're not extremists. It's everybody who wants a fair and not fraudulent election that's extremist.
Yeah, and we got to put a big metal fence around. And
yeah, I
mean,
that.
it's just like wow.
Yeah, these people are ridiculous. Anything that they are is what they'd say you are. It's, the gaslighting is just so off the charts at this point. It's unbelievable. I do have a clip. We have a guest today.
We do.
At 10:15, he's calling in.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to get to these two clips really quick.
Quickly.
And so I just want to play, in talking about gaslighting, I want to give you a comparison study here on gaslighting, how... Gee, here's mainstream. The first clip is from CNBC or CNBLSD. And so they're talking about the downgrade on Moody's. Are we ready to go in there, Christine? Oh, good job. I saw a hand come up in the all right. Yeah, well, there you go. Now I can see. Perfect. Because there's a reflection on the lens there. All right, so here we go. This is Moody's changes the U.S. outlook to a negative, affirms the AAA rating. Okay. I know. You can't make this crap up. Here we go.
Breaking news here out of Moody's. Steve Kovac has the details for us. Steve.
Yeah, Morgan. Moody's downgrading its outlook on the government of the United States. I'm just reading right here from the report that just came in here. It's saying ratings to negative from stable, but still affirming the long-term rating of AAA. Some of the reasons behind this, Morgan, are the downside risk to the U.S. fiscal strength and also continued political polarization within the U.S. Congress raises the risk, I'm quoting directly here, raises the risk that successive governments will not be able to reach consensus on a fiscal plan. And, of course, we're a week away from a shutdown where this is all playing in. And, of course, this comes a little over 3 months after that Fitch downgrade, Morgan.
Okay. Steve Kovac, thanks. Mike Santoli, I'm going to go back to you because some of the other headlines here. Political polarization exacerbates fiscal risks. Absent policy action, fiscal strength will decline. Debt affordability to be significantly weakened. None of this is necessarily breaking news, and there had been a lot of anticipation that maybe you could see a move like this by Moody's. But how significant is it that we are getting it? We're getting on a Friday, a week to the day before the current continuing resolution that the government is operating on is set to expire.
Yeah, so it doesn't bring with it any tangible direct impact in terms of, you know, any big institutional investors having to change their willingness to hold U.S. government debt. It does crystallize the concerns, though, as you say, we've been dealing with for a few months, not just this huge supply of government debt that's been pushed on the market because of these large deficits in a time of economic expansion, but also, and this gets back to what Fitch said around the debt ceiling standoff the last time, which just does seem like politically it's not about the ability to meet our debt obligations. It's sort of the willingness to kind of place the fiscal situation on a more secure path. So I would say it's basically giving words to what the market has been struggling with since July when yields started to really ramp higher. And by the way, that whole move higher in ramp was not all about supply, but that definitely was an exacerbating factor.
Yeah, it kind of takes us back to the beginning of this hour as well, where we rehashed those Mary Daly comments about the neutral rate, too. Breaking news.
Let me translate that into English for you. We're shoveling so much BS that we can't even tell what the BS that we're shoveling says. Because, let's see, it's stable, downgrade from AAA, it's still good. There, just a little downside risk. Political polarization is exacerbating the problem on the shutdown, and there's no tangible thing going on here. And we've been in the expansion. I guess after you shut down the whole country and things actually start to come back, that's an expansion. Even though I look around this morning and I see a building closed every other building, but that's expansion. So let's get another point of view. See, because that was at CNBC. I want you to hear it from the other extremist point of view. I guess let's get one extreme to the other, and let's hear what my guy says. This is Greg Mannarino.
Hey everybody, here we go. It's me, Gregory Mannarino, Sunday, November 12th, 2023, and this is my newest segment of Markets, A Look Ahead. People, let's start off with this. How many of you find it just slightly interesting that after the market close on Friday, all of a sudden Moody's, the credit rating agency, comes out downgrading sovereign U.S. debt to negative? Yeah, you heard that right. U.S. debt has been downgraded to negative. Imagine my shock. Imagine your shock. I mean, we are clearly in a death spiral here, and it's not going to stop. Let me put another perspective on this for you. Do you think just because U.S. debt was just downgraded to negative that it's going to stop this incredible hyperinflating bubble that we have in debt right now? No, absolutely not. In fact, it's going to accelerate much faster. You know the situation here, but you see, they're not allowing anybody to know. People hear these words. It goes in one ear and out the other, but they have no idea what's going on here. The system itself is coming apart, and it's not coming apart by accident by any means. Okay, this is deliberate. This is central banks collectively hyperinflating global debt so they can finish what they started to become the lenders and buyers of last resort. How many years have I spoken about this to everyone? I know you get it. Again, most of you that follow this blog, you are so far ahead of the curve on this. But this situation is about to get much more dire, much faster. You know how it works. The debt must be piled on exponentially. It cannot remain static, okay? $34 trillion, $36 trillion, $40 trillion. It's not going to stop. And what this also means, in case you don't know, is it's going to cost more to service the debt. It costs now over $1 trillion per year to service the interest on the debt. Now, let's think about this. The interest on the debt. How is that even created? Well, we have a central bank here, and this is how they all work here. Okay, you all know this. Who is more than willing to issue as much debt as they are called on to issue. And this is obviously is massively inflationary. You're not supposed to know that. It's one of these secrets that are literally hidden in plain sight. Now, these central banks, it's a joke, and the joke is on us. That will continue to issue debt to the world. We'll focus here more on the Federal Reserve, to the United States, and we're gonna borrow and borrow and borrow and borrow more, especially in this environment of expanding war, which is not going to stop. And why is this in place here? Again, because the system is illiquid. We are in a full-blown liquidity crisis, which demands, bear with me here, that the debt be piled on even faster than before. It can't stop. But you see, you're not allowed to know any of this stuff. You know, the central banks who issue this debt, they, again, create interest on that debt out of nothing. Out of nothing. Imagine being a central banker, being in that kind of a situation. It's enormous. Well, I don't think there's probably a better business to be in the history of the world. Create a product out of nothing. Lend that product to whoever they want to. Again, the Federal Reserve, let's stick to the Fed, as you well know, can lend to any nation, to any cause, whatever they want to do with no oversight. And then they charge interest on that cash, and they create it out of nothing, like magic. And that has created the current situation that we are in. It is a death spiral, or a debt spiral. And who's paying for it? You are.
I think I'll stop it right there. But, yeah, kind of two different sides of the same coin, maybe. I'll leave it up to you to which one you can decide which one you think is more true than the other. Because if we look around, hey, it's not a big deal. Everything's happening.
Everything's good out
there. Everything's good out
there. No problem.
Yeah, just a little bit exacerbating the stability on the AAA downgrade.
That doesn't make any difference at all.
And when you're in the middle of a big expansion like we are, it's just a blip on the screen.
Yep. And with that,
we have our guest.
We have our guest on the line. We've got Mark Baird. Are you there, Mark?
I am here. Hi, guys.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. I think there's a guy that does videos in San Francisco and San Jose and Sacramento and all the big cities in Northern California, and he walks through showing how every store is closed on the Embarcadero. Every store is closed.
Yeah, I saw that.
Every store in Sacramento is closed. Almost every store in San Jose is closed. I think they refer to that as the doom loop.
Oh, it's an economic expansion. They're just expanding the poverty into other places.
Yeah, but now they're doing a bunch of cleanup down there because they got the
Chinese
coming in or something. They're spending billions of dollars down there.
Xi Jinping's going to visit San Francisco, so all of the feces and homeless have magically been disappearing.
Yeah, it's all good. Yeah. Looks great.
Yeah, it's kind of a funny notion, really, when you look at people like Gavin Newsom and creepy Joe Biden and all that, and then you look at what you were talking about, the treasuries. Well, we're AAA rated, but we've been downgraded to AAA with a little bit of instability, and it's still AAA, but it's been downgraded to utter chaos in the government. And
We still have a AAA rating, though. Come on now.
Yeah, and it's the same with the causes of liberty. You have a constitution. Everybody knows that. If you ask anybody in the United States, do we have a constitution? Even the stupid people know that. And we have a Bill of Rights that amended the Constitution in 1791 because the anti-federalists felt the Constitution did not guarantee civil liberties and inalienable rights to the degree that they should be. Arguably, that was a big discussion then, but we have a Bill of Rights. Sadly, not everyone knows that. I think it was the Center for Constitution and Government did a survey, and this was like 10 years ago, and it's probably worse now, where like something like 88% of the people said the Constitution was important in their daily lives. But out of the people who responded to the poll, only like 30% of them knew there were three branches of government, and only 10% of them could name all.
And I bet you most of those were college educated.
Well, I don't know, because they got this guy that goes out on the streets and he asks college kids, "What country did we fight to gain our independence?" And they say stuff like Mexico.
What's his name? Waters or whatever.
Yeah, name two countries that border the United States, and they'll say stuff like New Mexico and Hawaii.
Yeah, I'm saying. They're college educated. They've been educated beyond their own ability to determine what's true and what's not.
Oh well, it's I could argue that a college education, unless it's hard science like physics or engineering or something, and even those have been degraded, aren't worth much, but. That's for the individual parent who's going to spend $100,000 a year to have his kid turned into a raging commie and an effeminate homosexual to decide, I guess,
Well, they have to pay. And, remember, they had to give, bribe the colleges to let them in and everything.
Well,
to let them get indoctrinated.
At least they've been attacking Israel a lot and supporting Hamas, and now the funding's being pulled by the Jewish guys that are contributors.
Well, that's good, and that brings us to our discussion. I mean, it's that very Bill of Rights is the reason I'm calling today, and there is one of the Bill of Rights that, in my contention, protects all the rest of them, and that's the Second Amendment. And these rights were spelled out in plain English. Congress shall make no law, abridging the right to speak freely, to worship freely, to peaceful assembly, to petition the government for redress of grievances, to a free press, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, and that means ever. It doesn't mean you can infringe on Monday and Wednesday, but not Tuesday and Thursday. It means ever. Shall not be, that means never. And those things are in plain English. The founders understood what they meant. They started out with a blank piece of paper when the Bill of Rights was written. Had they wanted to say you can carry a gun if the governor gives you permission, they could have. They could have said you can carry a gun, but you can't have any bullets within 5 feet of the gun. They could have said that. They could have said you can only carry this kind of gun or that kind of gun. They could have said you can only own this kind of gun or that kind of gun. They could have said you can open carry, but you can't carry it hidden under your shirt. They could have said any of those things they wanted to, but they did not. They said the right of the people, the right. Now, when you look up in Webster's 1828, right is God's law. That's compliance with God's law. That's what it means to be right. If you're right, you're in compliance with God's law. Well, conversely, if the government is wrong, what are they? They're out of compliance with God's law. And that shall not be tolerated by any of God's people. So when you look at the way this Second Amendment has been governed, and every inconclusive rabbit hole regulation from here to hell's eternity in some township in Iowa, where in 1861 they banned the grouping of 12 or more people with clubs in order to riot, and the state of California says, well, yeah, see, we can ban guns. Look at that law. I mean, I don't wonder how Alice in Wonderland was written now.
Well, you know,
written by a crazy person to suit crazy people in a crazy country that didn't used to be crazy.
You know, Mark, when you're just on this right and wrong thing, you know, I was just thinking as you said that, you know, when I was a kid, my parents always told me, you need to understand the difference between right and wrong. And that used to be what the parent's job was to teach a kid the difference between right and wrong. You know, what was good, what was bad, what was the evil.
Well, let me ask you, what was the standard by which they taught people, their children, the difference between right and wrong?
Basically, the Ten Commandments, you know, do unto your neighbors as
it's
you
biblical.
Would have them do unto you. And
it was biblical.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And now what they're doing is the schools are now teaching that wrong is right. And you know, and it really does say to what you're saying, you know, goes to, because that's why they got to remove all of the references to God from the schools and any religious tenets, because they want you to be taught what they say is right and what they say is wrong. And, you know, I mean, we could go on and, you know, murdering a baby in the womb is right according to this kind of doctrine, but they've flipped it completely on its head. From what right and wrong should be, and should be the, you know, what the people are teaching their children, not the government teaching the children.
Well, there was a German philosopher in the 1700s that said, give me your children for two generations and I will have them saying that snow is black. And no monarchy in Europe will require a constabulary, because all of the people will be perfectly behaved. In other words, you give me enough time with your children and I will indoctrinate them to where they will only know one step, and that is the step we tell them to take. And Joe Stalin, he said right out, I don't want you, I want your children. Mm-hmm. And he also said, I don't care who votes, I care who counts the votes. And there are a lot of things like that going on. For example, in London, one of our allies, where, you know, we commemorate on Veterans Day, that hundreds of thousands of men fought to save the Jewish people from annihilation in concentration camps and gas chambers and ungodly things that you can't even imagine, and ghastly surgeries and medical research and killing children and murdering women and desecrating their bodies and so on. And now in London, on Veterans Day, 300,000 people come out and say, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. Which is such a bullshit argument, because there was never in the history of the world a country called Palestine until about 1948. There were no Palestinian people. When you read history, there was no one called the Palestinians. They were the Hittites, the Philistines, the Sumerians, but no Palestinians. That's a recent invention.
Well, what that river to the sea means is completely wiping out Israel and the Jewish community that lives there.
Exactly, and wiping out 8 million Jewish people that happened to occupy that space and have occupied it for thousands of years.
Right.
And in 3,000 or 4,000 archaeological digs in the Middle East, there has never been anything that disproves that notion. Never once.
Well, you know, but we're the extremists, right?
well, you see these rants and these ravings that are going on. And right now, for instance, you look over in New York City, Grand Central Station, and the police officers are cowering inside of their police headquarters while Palestinian supporter Hamas supporters are banging on the windows and trashing the place outside. Amazing how that works. This reminds me exactly of the Summer of Love. It's a color revolution, once again, just in time for an election.
Yeah, and when you look at these murdering thugs, and when you look at the protests in the United States, they're largely little white kids who have no knowledge of history, no knowledge of life, no knowledge of the world, no knowledge of geopolitics. They just like a catchy phrase,
right?
And they're out there desecrating the White House grounds and trying to gain entry into the White House grounds. And, well, what about the insurrection there? Come on, Nancy. Come on. Why don't you put about 2,000 of them in jail without charge in solitary confinement?
Because they've been spoon-fed what they want them to believe from the American education system, especially the college graduates. We've seen it at the local levels here, with CRT and trying to indoctrinate the children. And then, you go to college, it's indoctrinate you. It's not like you're going to a university. You're going to an indoctrination center. And that's the problem. Yeah. You got all these guys coming out that think they know something about nothing, but they've never looked at the original text. They've never went and studied for themselves or thought for themselves about what they're being told, at least the ones that believe it, that what they're being told, if it's true or not.
It's a control camp. That's all it is. College, to me, is just a control camp of the children.
Yeah, I totally agree, and that's one of the reasons why we have a Second Amendment, is to protect ourselves from the tyranny of people like that. And without that protection, let me tell you, you got nothing. And if every Jew had answered the door on Kristallnacht with a .32 or even a steak knife, it might have been a whole different deal.
Well, let's go to a break, Mark, and then let's come back and talk about the case. And I'm really super interested in what has happened as far as the hearing that you had not too long ago, and getting us updated on where we're at and where we're going, and where this thing's going to end up, and at least get an idea of what maybe could happen out of this and go from there. But we are definitely in some interesting times. So let's go to a break here, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about the court case.
All the talking heads on TV, they're selling their lies. Saying their way is better for living my life. And I'm fed up with them set up all high on that hill. They never gave a damn about a common man. Hell, they never will. So you can say what you want to about the things I hold you and the fabric that makes up this red, white, and blue. 'Cause I'll fight for my country till the day that I'm done. And I still got my God, and I still got my gun.
Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Sovereign Minds, we're back. A little bit of Aaron Lewis there. All right, let's get into this court case, Mark. And what happened at the last hearing?
The last hearing was pretty interesting, really. Like I said before, I genuinely felt the hand of God in that courtroom, and I could feel it. I mean, Judge Mueller's opinion or her attitude was just different. She didn't lose her temper at my attorney. She didn't lose her temper at our arguments. She wasn't confrontational. We were afforded more opportunity to speak than the state was. She asked the state several questions they couldn't answer. And the most telling of this was, Ms. Hadid, can you illustrate one law that required people to get a license to carry a weapon in 1791? And the state's attorney answered, there was a pause, a pretty long pause, and she answered, no, Your Honor, there were none.
To show you what kind of a slippery slope we've been on, and it's been our fault for not participating not going along with the program, and up until now, when people are starting to see the real dangers of a government takeover.
But what a difference on the judge's part compared to prior engagements with her and standing up for the state.
Oh, I have to say, it was incredible. Like I said, I definitely felt God's presence in that courtroom. I was on the phone, but I could tell. I mean, it was an amazing change in behavior. Now, I'm not saying we're going to win off of that, but I've got to tell you, the state has nothing. They raised no argument that we couldn't defeat and didn't defeat in that hearing quite handily and very easily. The state is marching down a different road now, and they have other objectives in the Rahimi case. One really important, actually two really important points were made that will directly impact this case. Number one, the United States attorney admitted on the record an oral argument in the Supreme Court in the Rahimi case, and look, Rahimi's not a good guy. He's not going to win this case. His Supreme Court case is not going to get him out of jail. But it was not a blow to the Merrick Garland wanted the Rahimi case so that they could get a shitbag, pardon my expression, but it's true, up to the Supreme Court to argue that violent people can't be given the right to carry weapons. Well, he got up there, but he's not going to get what he wants out of that. Rahimi is not going to get out of jail. What the Supreme Court will probably do is opine in a very narrow terms that violent felons cannot have arms. However, the United States Solicitor General admitted several things on the record, which makes them required by the government. In other words, the government is not allowed to testify in the Supreme Court and then change their tune later and do the exact opposite. This is now their official position, and it is one that directives by the Supreme Court of the United States are now the law of the land and should not be argued. Oh, well, what does that mean? It means that if the conduct of the individual is covered by the plain text of the Second Amendment, that conduct is presumptively constitutional. It means that the Second Amendment is not a second-class right subject to a different set of rules. It means so many things in Heller, in McDonald, in Bruin, in my case, in Duncan, in Miller, in all of these cases, that the United States government has just admitted what the Supreme Court says is the law. And the state solicitor general also admitted to other things in the Rahimi discussion that will benefit the Second Amendment tremendously. And I'm listening to the transcripts of it. I've listened once. I got to listen a few more times so I can glean the rest of the details. But it was a tremendous victory for the Second Amendment in several key areas. And so now you come back to my case, and in my case, the appeal to the Ninth Circuit Court, where a three-judge panel unanimously found in our favor against the circuit court and ordered the judge to do certain things. And that case had that transcript had such good language in it that it's already been quoted in the Duncan case, the Miller case, a couple of cases in Washington State. So we got such a favorable decision out of the Ninth Circuit ordering Judge Mueller to reassess the preliminary injunction based on constitutional grounds and not to work for the state anymore, but to consider the merits of the case like she's bound to do under the law. And I believe that that admonishment by the Ninth Circuit contributed tremendously. Maybe it woke her up. I mean, God is mysterious. He can do anything. Perhaps that speech the Ninth Circuit gave her woke her up to what she'd been doing, which is acting like an operative of the Democratic Party in the state of California all these years instead of what the Ninth Circuit ordered her to do, which is to support the Constitution, whether you like the Constitution or not.
I'm a little skeptical, sorry, as far as her seeing the light. But we've had a lot of problems with her over how many years now? What has it been, six years or something?
Oh, more than that, probably, and she's still giving trouble. But I got to say, her attitude was way different, and she asked the state several questions that they could not answer.
Well,
and she asked, and so the state is marching down a couple of different avenues now. Here's the way they want this to go: that states may regulate public carry as long as they allow other types of public carry. So what they've done is they've taken Nunn v. Georgia, which said that the state can regulate concealed carry, and at first the state tried to use that case. Well, you can ban open carry, Nunn v. Georgia. But then my attorney pointed out, well, yeah, but that was overturned by the Georgia State Supreme Court, and they said you could regulate concealed carry, but you can't regulate open carry, and that wasn't until 1864 anyway. That's well outside the founding period. But they said you must allow open carry. Open carry, according to Bruin and Heller, was never regulated in the United States until well into the 20th century, with a single exception of a few towns and territories in the late 19th century. Open carry has never been regulated. The state's attorney admitted no one has ever had to ask for a license to carry a weapon in antebellum or the founding era. There was no such thing as a license to carry. Oh, she did say, oh, well, there were. But, you know, there were slaves had to get a license from their master. Well, my attorney pointed out that those laws were declared by Bruin and Heller and McDonald to be so racist and repugnant to the Constitution that they weren't even allowed to be considered. And the state's attorney argues, well, yeah, but they were laws, so we can do it now.
Well, it's interesting because the argument for concealed carry, the problem that we've always had with that is the fact is concealed carry is by licensing, and you have to get permission from the government, whether it's your local sheriff or the state, or they make laws to restrict concealed carry, or they give it to who they want. You couldn't even get a concealed carry permit in the state of California for a long time in most counties. We're fortunate that we live up here in a rural area where, you know, it's almost demanded. But the problem is that if they can, whatever the government giveth, the government can taketh away. That's why open carry has to be a right.
Well, open carry is a right, period. And the state has not shown with any single regulation or law dating back to the founding era by any of their three or four or five experts, they have not pointed out one single law that banned or even regulated the peaceful carry of a loaded weapon by a law-abiding citizen for the purpose of self-defense. Not one single example. We win. But what they're trying to do now is they're trying to say, well, if states allow one form of carry, they can ban another form of carry. Well, since the state of California allows concealed carry, they can ban open carry. Well, that has been rejected, and it was rejected in Heller as the either-or defense. When in Heller, the District of Columbia banned pistols, but they said, well, you can have a rifle. We'll allow you to have a rifle if you get a license.
Well, it's always about getting permission from them, because, like I say, what the government giveth, the government take away. You know, and that's why being dependent on any kind of government assistance, anything that the government, the government's largesse, turns into a control mechanism.
Right. Well, that defense was rejected in Heller and Bruin as the either or defense. You can't say, well, you can have a piece of a right. If we can ban most of the right, you can have a little piece of the right that's okay. That logic has been rejected. So then the state wants to say also, and this one will really bowl you over. This one I laughed out loud. I'm glad I was on the phone with the speaker and muted, but the state says, well, since the laws in 1791 were so much stricter than California's laws.
It's kind of hard not to laugh out loud about that.
I know. So, well, since those laws were much more strict than California's laws are now, California's laws should be looked at as constitutional. Well, number one, that's so ridiculous. You just want to go.
How could anybody even think that that's an argument with any ounce of historical viewpoint or common sense?
Well, yeah, I mean, since lynching is much more strict than execution by lethal injection, you know.
It's like when I first took my hunter safety course, the instructor, I was like 12 or something, the instructor says, which will kill you, a deader, a rifle, or a shotgun? Well, it's kind of a moot point.
Dead is dead at that point.
Yeah, and since a .45 automatic is so much more lethal than a .22, you should be allowed to shoot people with a .22, right?
I mean,
it's such a stupid argument. I was surprised they even raised it, but they did, and it didn't fly. I don't even think the judge bought off on that one. But it was a good day for us, and the state has so much illogical stuff going for them, and their experts we pointed out in open court that their experts provided laws against brandishing, which is illegal, and we're not challenging that. Laws against waving your gun around while you're drunk, that's against the law now. It's just bad behavior, and it's also brandishing. They pointed out laws against 12 or more people gathered with clubs in order to riot. They pointed out laws that were against riding about in order to frighten people, a fray, which is also basically brandishing with intent. They pointed out laws where you can't murder someone illicitly. You cannot arm yourself with the intent to murder someone. You can't arm yourself with intent, with a pre-existing intent to shoot someone. You know, all those things, battery, assault, murder, intent to commit murder, manslaughter, negligent homicide. Those things are already against the law, and we pointed out we're not challenging those things. They're already against the law. We don't care about it. That's for someone else another day. And also, we pointed out to the court that even the 922, Title 8, 922A through about G, the federal prohibitors on carrying weapons, are being struck down with regularity in the Supreme Court right now. So even some of those are going to go away. So the judge says, well, do you intend just for anybody in California to carry openly? And my attorney said, and she is very careful about her language, she said, well, Your Honor, the people of the state of California are innocent until proven guilty. That's the presumption of innocence. It's innocence. It's not in the Constitution. It's not in the Bill of Rights, but it is one of the founding the founding blocks of this nation.
Due process. It's part of due process.
It's due process.
Yes.
That's right. It's your presumption of innocence. So therefore, the people of the state of California are innocent of any crime unless they have been adjudicated otherwise, and then they go on the prohibited persons list. So yes, anybody in the state of California can walk around peacefully carrying a weapon for the lawful purpose of self-defense. There should be no prohibitor, no permissions required. No permission has ever been required for that. It says that clearly in Heller, Bruin, McDonald, Satano. No permission has ever been required. The Supreme Court has hundreds and hundreds of pages of history. The history's all settled, and the state presented not one single example, not one, of a regulation or ban on the peaceful open carry of a loaded weapon for the lawful purposes of self-defense by lawful individuals.
Well, their contention, or their thought process, I'm sure, is the fact that, oh, if we open this up, it's going to be the Wild West. You know, if we have open carry, people are going to just be openly shooting everybody on the street. Everybody's going to die. You know, we're all going to die. But that's not true, because how many states now have open carry?
Well, that was another point we brought up. I mean, we brought up the fact that, you know, that the state's attorney said, well, this is a broad and overreaching decision that will affect so many people. And, you know, my attorney said, well, Your Honor, it's only going to affect two states, even in the Ninth Circuit. In the Ninth Circuit, every single state already has open carry with the exception of California and Hawaii. So open carry is only going to be applied to the two states that don't already have it. And the vast majority of the Ninth Circuit already has open carry, to which the state's attorney had no response at all. And then we also pointed out that 45 states have some form of open carry, whether that's with a permit or not, we don't care, and in other states. And 27 of those are constitutional carry. You can carry a gun. You don't ask anybody's permission. You can put it in your pants, outside your shirt, in a holster, whatever you want. So this is not a broad and overreaching decision that's going to change the legal climate. The majority of this nation already has it, and California and Hawaii are guilty of deprivation of rights because they don't have it.
Well, you know, it's like trying to associate guns with violence. It's like the fact that guns are there does not equal violence, and you know that's their contention. Is no more sound thinking than saying you know, using a car causes collisions.
Exactly, and you know, a spoon causes fat people.
Exactly. Yeah, there has to be personal responsibility somewhere.
Well, there has to be, and that's the point we make, but the state utterly and abjectly rejects that premise, and all you have to do is look back to when Gruesome Newsom said you could go to a titty bar, but you couldn't go to church.
How crazy? Oh, but you can go to the French Laundry and have dinner with all your medical friends.
Well, you can go to Walmart to buy a bolt, but you can't go to the local Ace Hardware because it's closed because of the Wuhan. I mean, you know, the state has a standard of tyranny that it would like to impose upon the people of this state, and if we allow it, it'll happen. But the Second Amendment is the final barrier to that. The Second Amendment is the amendment that protects all the rest of them, because let me tell you, if they weren't afraid of the people just a little bit, then free speech would be history right now. It almost is. I mean, you can go to colleges where they have a free speech zone out in the back parking lot, 2 feet square, painted in red, and you put on the scarlet letter before you say what your heart tells you to say.
Well,
cheering for the Palestinians, and you could do that anywhere.
This whole thing is another form of lawfare, is what they're using, and you know, on the delays of the court case, as long as it takes. And I pulled up lawfare out of Wikipedia, and there's actually a website called Lawfare that is such a propaganda website. But the reason I'm going to read this is that I want you to give me your estimation on if they were actually using lawfare. And lawfare is the use of a legal system and institution to damage or delegitimize an opponent or to deter an individual's usage of their legal rights. And I submit to you that's exactly what they've been doing, is law, and lawfare should be prosecuted, because if you are no longer operating with the intent of having a fair judicial proceeding, then what you're doing is you're circumventing the rights of constitutional and other for everybody, and you should be put out of office somehow.
Well, yeah, I mean, I totally agree with that, and that's exactly what happens, and it happens in court every day. I mean, for example, the Ninth Circuit Court in a unanimous decision ordered Judge Mueller to re-examine her denial of the preliminary injunction in light of the fact that she failed to look at the likelihood of success in the merits, and the Ninth Circuit thinks that we're very likely to succeed in the merits. And they ordered her to do it in an expeditious manner because this preliminary injunction has been hanging out there for 5 years, and they ordered her and reminded her that deprival, denial of a constitutional right, even for a short period of time, constitutes irreparable harm, and that the government cannot be harmed when they are forced to stop enforcing an unconstitutional law by the court. In other words, if the court orders them to stop banning the Second Amendment, they cannot suffer harm because it is always in the interest of the people to uphold liberty and uphold constitutional guarantees. And Judge Mueller hasn't done anything with that PI yet.
You know, it's interesting. I was listening to you guys on the Jefferson State of Mind, and I forget it was you or Terry said that there's actually a sign out there on the courthouse that says "Justice delayed is justice denied." And as the judge, you'd have to almost see that every day walking into the courtroom. How could these people possibly live with themselves knowing that they are perpetrators of an evil system that's circumventing the intention?
Well, first of all, the judge doesn't go in that entrance. She goes in a secret entrance. Ah. And she doesn't read that, and it doesn't care, and it doesn't affect her. But the Ninth Circuit ordered her and instructed her that her job is to support and defend the Constitution, whether she likes the Constitution or not. And they ordered her, your job is not to work for the state of California. Your job is to examine whatever case the plaintiff brings and whatever case the defendant brings. And then you're to decide who presented the best case. It's not your job to work for one person or the other. You don't need an expert to advise you on that. You're a judge. That's what you're supposed to do all the time. And, you know, it just was amazing. I mean, her attitude was definitely different. I don't know whether that's going to help us or not, but I can tell you right now, it could have been the remand that got her attention, but her attitude was definitely different toward the case and toward us.
Benitez is the one that issued that slapdown, so to speak, from San Diego, I believe.
We had a three-judge panel out of the Central District in Pasadena, or it might be Western. I don't forget what they call that. But and it was Judge Van Dyke, Judge Lee, and Judge Smith, Randy Smith.
Do you know if those judges are who appointed them?
Two Trumps and one George Bush.
Interesting.
In addition to that, Van Dyke and Lee were two judges that wrote a scathing rebuke of the Ninth Circuit when they decided to grab the Duncan case, run it right through the Ninth Circuit, no three-judge panel, and take it straight to the en banc. And Van Dyke wrote a very scathing indictment of them, saying you're breaking your own rules, you're breaking the law, you're destroying confidence in the court. And, you know, Judge Brandeis said one thing that I'll never forget. He said, for people to respect the law has to be respectful. And when courts manhandle the law, and when courts don't respect the law and don't follow the law themselves and don't adhere to the principles of the law or the principles of the court, then why in the hell should the people respect it? And why should we follow it?
Well, that's right. Kind of what you're seeing as well. And, I mean, the whole purpose of our government was to restrain the government from getting out of control and implementing tyranny through whatever means possible. You know, that's why there were so many rights enumerated in the Bill of Rights and so forth. And the whole Constitution was about constraining and separating the powers with checks and balances so that they wouldn't get out of control and consume the population with laws and statutes that would impair them to the point of becoming slavery.
But I think in this case, on your case, Mark, I think they were hoping you would go away and you would run out of money and not be able to keep defending the Second Amendment.
Well, that brings me to kind of a touchy point, Linda.
Well, you might want to get to that touchy point after the break, because we're going to go to a hard break here in about 30 seconds. Okay. And then let's come back and you can hit that point, and then also tell us where do you think the case is headed now. And
we'll go from there after the hard break, so we'll see everybody in about 5 minutes.
See you then.
Stories about me, some good and some bad. I fought in 3 wars, and I even made it back. I put food on the table.
KCNR, Chester Redding.
From townhall.com, I'm Michael Herring. At a campaign rally in New Hampshire yesterday, former President Trump saluted the veterans in the crowd and criticized the Biden administration's military withdrawal from Afghanistan in 2021.
Incredible what happened. You don't take the military out first, you take the military out last, right? And about 10 other things that we could name. You don't give up Bagram, and you leave from Bagram, not from the place they left from. I couldn't breathe, it was so tight, so crazy, so horrible what they did. The veterans who have served this nation in uniform and enlisted their lives, defense of their families, our freedom, and our great American flag.
The polls say President Trump is well ahead of his GOP challengers, and a couple of them have him leading President Biden as well. Protesters massing in San Francisco ahead of this week's Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Leaders Conference.
Activists protesting environmental abuses, poor working conditions, and the Israel-Hamas war are taking to the streets in downtown San Francisco this weekend to begin protesting the Global Trade Summit. The No to APEC coalition, made up of more than 100 grassroots organizations. Protesters will not be allowed, though, into tightly controlled security zones open only to attendees. And San Francisco police say while the city welcomes protesters, it will not tolerate violence or property destruction. Rhonda Rockstra reporting.
House Speaker Mike Johnson has unveiled his plan to avoid a partial government shutdown by the end of this week. It extends government funding for some agencies into January, others into February. The White House is already criticizing it. The UN Refugee Agency says the paramilitary forces and Arab militias in Sudan have ransacked a village in Darfur. They have killed at least 800 people, possibly more. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Urgent Camp Lejeune settlement message. On September 6th, the government announced it will soon begin providing fast, guaranteed settlements to Camp Lejeune Marines, families, and civilians. Awards will range between $100,000 and $550,000, with an option for higher amounts. If you or a loved one spent time at Camp Lejeune and suffered cancers of the bladder, liver, or kidneys, leukemia, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, Parkinson's, or kidney issues, you may qualify for compensation and could be paid within 60 days after accepting your settlement, with your VA benefits fully protected. You may be entitled to a significant financial award for your Camp Lejeune claim, but you must act now. Call the James Harris Law Camp Lejeune helpline now to get the compensation you deserve. We're already fighting for thousands harmed by the water at Camp Lejeune. Call now or you may forever lose your right to be awarded a settlement between $100,000 and $550,000. For your free evaluation, call 800-320-7171. That's 800-320-7171. 800-320-7171.
The Treasury Department imposing sanctions on 13 members of Mexico's Sinaloa drug cartel and 4 Mexico-based firms.
Authorities say included in the sanctions are a manager of cartel operations in Nogales who oversaw the trafficking of tons of drugs, along with a restaurant, mining companies, and an import-export firm. The sanctions cut them off from the U.S. banking system and blocked their U.S. assets. The Biden administration this year also announced indictments and sanctions against Chinese companies and executives blamed for importing the chemicals used to make fentanyl. But Republicans say the Democratic administration isn't doing enough to stop the deadly drug. Jeremy House, Washington.
Candidates in a November 22nd general election in the Netherlands are making migration a major issue in the campaign. They're not alone. It's the hot issue all across Europe as governments in the EU try and rein in the problem. News and analysis at townhall.com. Texas defeats another state rival in college football.
Quinn Ewers threw for 317 yards and a touchdown in his return from a shoulder injury. His number 7 Texas held on to beat TCU 29-26. Texas built up a 26-6 lead at halftime, withstood a 20-point fourth quarter rally by TCU to get the win. Texas coach Steve Sarkisian says the team continues to find ways to win.
The versatility of this team, the heart and resiliency that this team shows, the ability to make plays at critical moments when we needed them the most showed up.
Jonathan Brooks rushed for 104 yards and 2 touchdowns for Texas, while TCU quarterback Josh Hoover threw for 302 yards and a pair of touchdowns. Bob Stevens, Fort Worth, Texas.
Today is Sunday, November the 12th, and some notable people are celebrating a birthday today, including actor Wallace Shawn, who is 80 years old, retired Major League Baseball All-Star Sammy Sosa, 55 today. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Guest Mark Baird and go from there. Here we go.
Good day, and welcome to this week's Town Hall News Brief. I'm Phoebe Johnson, your host here with the latest local update. Our first brief addresses voter apathy. Low voter turnout was a concern in the recent Shasta County election. While some see elections as the bedrock of democracy, assumptions about how to increase participation can undermine the integrity of the process. A report from the Election Integrity Project California questioned if elections should favor convenience or mail-in ballots. These options seem attractive but reduce security and transparency, the report argued. With many disappointed in recent election outcomes, how can turnout rise without compromising integrity? Suggested ideas include offering rides to polling places, community engagement, and recruiting poll workers. Returning to in-person voting can help, while limited absentee ballots remain an option for those unable to vote in person. Restoring trust and integrity in elections may increase turnout more than quick fixes. With wisdom and effort, we can have accessible and secure elections. Get involved and let officials know you support voting reforms. The power ultimately lies with the people. Next up, Tuesday's election in Shasta County attracted significant attention due to the controversy surrounding whether ballots would be counted by hand or machine. The county had terminated its contract with Dominion Voting Systems to allow hand counting, despite opposition from the county registrar. The election itself proceeded smoothly overall. Dozens of observers, including state advocacy groups concerned about election integrity and media from Sacramento and Los Angeles, came to monitor the election. The Secretary of State's office also sent observers. The registrar reported no major disruptions. In a related story, after several local elections offices around the country received suspicious packages containing fentanyl this week, Shasta County's Elections Department has stopped opening its mail as a precaution. The county clerk said the suspicious packages sent to other offices looked similar to their own recent mail, though they did not contain ballots. All mail has been placed in the sealed bin until the Public Health Department advises how to safely handle it. This delay in opening mail does not currently impact vote counting, and the remaining ballots will not be counted until November 20th.
The Shasta County Elections Office recently installed a 7-foot fence to increase security. Elections departments nationwide have implemented extra security measures amid ongoing threats and harassment related to claims of election rigging. These steps aim to protect staff, though the alleged threats remain an unfortunate reality. In our last brief, a recent initiative called Press Forward aims to combat fake news and increase trust in local news outlets ahead of the 2024 elections. However, some are concerned about potential liberal bias. The CEO of Press Forward has a history of supporting Democratic politicians. The organization's press releases also use left-leaning buzzwords, raising questions about its impartiality. Meanwhile, a separate lawsuit against Gannett, the media company that owns USA Today, Redding's Record Searchlight, and other local papers across 46 states, alleges racial discrimination. The lawsuit claims Gannett has been firing white employees to meet diversity goals. There is evidence that white workers have been denied promotions and salary increases. Gannett has set a target to raise the number of non-white employees in leadership roles by 30% by 2025. The concern is that with the injection of funding from initiatives like Press Forward, political influence and bias may start to reach small-town news outlets through companies like Gannett. This could impact local coverage and public opinion in the lead-up to the 2024 elections. Listeners should be aware of this lawsuit and the potential for political bias to infiltrate local news and impact the 2024 elections through initiatives like Press Forward and media companies like Gannett. Thank you for listening to your Town Hall Brief. Become part of the conversation at Shasta Lake Town Hall on Facebook or at Town Hall News on X, formerly Twitter.
Yeah, there's no media bias already here.
There's no problem with the elections or anything.
Yeah, we'll talk about that another day or later or whatever. Let's get back to Mark Baird and let's finish this. Let's talk about this this funding issue that you started to expand on, Mark.
Well, a week ago Friday, we went to federal court. Typically, that is between a $20,000 and $30,000 day. By the time you have all the filings, all the papers, all the briefs that have to be written, submitted, argued, responded to, travel costs, hotels, court fees, so on and so forth, a day in court is usually $20,000 or $30,000. Now, Judge Mueller denied the ability to do this one on Zoom. And we appealed to do it on Zoom because it's much cheaper. And we probably wisely reasoned she's going to rule against us anyway. We just need to get this out of her courtroom and into the Ninth Circuit. So why bother to have the expense to travel out there? But she denied that, and she demanded an in-person hearing. So we had an attorney that had to travel from New York and spend a couple nights in hotels and eat and brief and file papers and so on, and then appear for 30 minutes and then fly all the way back to New York. And that's expensive. So I think we probably spent between $20,000 and $30,000, and I believe right now we have somewhat less than 20 in the account.
Wow.
Yeah.
So we need to maybe you need to do a fundraiser, Mark, or something, and have another booster, get a shot in the arm, so to speak, of some cash so that you can finish this thing out.
Yeah, well, we're going to try that for we're thinking the last week in January in Siskiyou County, like we've done before. Mm-hmm. We're going to try to have a couple of shoots where people can come and shoot, and they, you know, pay an entry fee, and we'll have prizes and so on, and things like that. So we do have some plans, but we could use some contributions along the way. In other words, if I can finish out the year with a zero balance to the attorney, that would be really big, because then next year is next year, and we don't. And what we're waiting for now is the summary judgment ruling and the ruling on the preliminary injunction. So we shouldn't have to spend much money for the next several months anyway. So what I really hope people will do is step up to the plate and contribute so that I can at least get this balance zeroed out.
How much is how much is owed right now, Mark, again?
Well, I suspect it's going to be pretty close to $30,000.
All right, I see. And if somebody wants to donate, they can send that money into where?
They send it to Pecan, and in the memo put 2A, and the address is 14421 Old Oregon Trail, Suite B, Redding, California, 96003. Or give me a call at 530-221-0101.
Yeah, we need your help, because it sounds like we're getting close to the finish line here, and we don't want to have to drop the ball at this point when you're probably looking at a win here.
Well, look, here's what the Ninth Circuit declared that Judge Mueller must find. California must identify a historical analog that curtails the right to peacefully carry handguns openly for self-defense to a comparable degree with comparable severity and a comparable blanket enforcement to California's open carry ban. And there were none. And so they have to find an analogous regulation that dates back to 1791 that banned the peaceful open carry by law.
Well, it doesn't exist.
For
I mean,
self-defense.
There's no way that exists.
There were none, and even the state's attorney admitted there were none, and their experts never presented one, not one. In all of the thousands of pages of history that the state produced, there was not one single example of an outright ban on the open carry of a loaded weapon for peaceful purposes by law-abiding citizens. Therefore, according to the Ninth Circuit, three-judge panel, unanimous decision, we win. If I can afford to pay, we will win this.
Well, do you think you have to go past the Ninth Circuit, or will they affirm the findings at that point? When it gets appealed up to them, if she rules for you guys, will the state appeal it?
Well, the state is arrogant. They shouldn't appeal it, quite frankly, because if they appeal this and lose, and we go to the Supreme Court and they appeal this and they lose, then the entire United States of America has constitutional no-permit carry, period, end of sentence.
Wouldn't they have to reimburse you somewhat for your cost of bringing the case?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. And with that, Pecan, the foundation Pecan with 2A, for the 2A cases, we'll have enough money to sue them again and again and again if we have to. So, this is not money that gets returned to me or anyone else. This is money that, because it would be impossible. There are so many people that gave $5. I couldn't figure it out. But what it'll do is stay in Pecan, and if we got to sue them again, we'll be able to. And we'll be able to get it considerably further down the road initially with much more resources to bear. This case is starting to get national attention. Several constitutional scholars have reviewed this case. They think we're going to win. Washington Gun Law, Four Boxes Diner, the constitutional attorney Mark Smith, Guns and Gadgets, a bunch of these YouTube reviewers have reviewed the case and think we're going to win. The only people that don't think we're going to win are CRPA, because they say, well, if the state can allows concealed carry, they can ban open carry, which is hogwash and was rejected by Heller, Bruin, and McDonald's. So it's open carry or nothing for us. That is the right protected by the Second Amendment. Everybody that has any legal brains and constitutional brains agrees. The Ninth Circuit even agrees. And if she rules against us, there are two ways this could go. As a take-back case, this could go to the three-judge panel that gave us the unanimous win on the preliminary injunction.
So it would have to go back to the same three that kind of give her the slap down?
Yeah. That's one avenue this could go. It could be a take-back case. It could go to that same panel, and then we know how we do there. Now, if California, in its ultimate arrogance, would not appeal that, it would only impact California. If they appeal it and the Ninth Circuit rules in our favor, now it impacts Hawaii and California. Okay, so if we win on appeal, now Hawaii and California have constitutional carry.
So do you think they might not want to go that far because they want to limit the amount of damage that this is going to cause them, I guess?
Well, if they had the brains that God gave a hammered cow turd, that's how they would look at it. But in their ultimate arrogance, and look, evil people are ultimately arrogant, they may say, no, if we just take this a little further, we can either outspend the guy or we can win through some other manner, hoping the character of the Supreme Court changes. Well, if they lose at the Supreme Court, now the United States of America has permitless open carry, and that is it. That's the law of the land. Their Democratic buddies might be a little mad at them in New Jersey if that's how this ends up. So, yeah, I would think if they have any brains, they'll just take the loss, let it go. It doesn't impact that many people that they care about in the near term, and it preserves the draconian carry laws in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Delaware, and Massachusetts and Michigan and some of those other places. So they have a duty and responsibility to their communist pals not to upset the apple cart any more than they have to. Now, if they take that to heart, we're going to win, and that'll be the end of it. But if they don't, in their arrogance, we're still going to win, but then everybody gets liberty. And unfortunately, it just costs us a little more money to win the entire United States their liberty back.
Well, is there a time frame for the decision either way? Do we know about what that would be, if any?
Oh, Lord, I wish. Now, the Ninth Circuit declared to the judge that in one situation, Mock v. Garland, the judge had 60 days to reissue the preliminary injunction. In New Hope Family Services v. Poole, the court gave the judge 10 days to overturn and do a remand. And in one other decision, it was 60 days, and I forget the name of that case, Grace Schools v. Birdwell, I think, or Burwell or something. The court had 60 days. So we're coming up on about 45 days now. So at the end of another 2 weeks,
we're going to know that one way or the other.
Yeah, but we've already ratted her out to the Ninth Circuit once. Hmm. And what happened over that was the en banc panel got mad, and they ordered briefs from us and the state as to why the en banc panel shouldn't just grab this case right out of the circuit court and take it straight to the en banc panel. And even the state said no to that. They said, there's nothing that's been decided yet. What are you going to rule on, you idiot? And that's pretty much what we said, too. No one wants an en banc review because there is no conclusion that's been published yet. This has to go through the process. So even the state see daylight on that one because they're afraid of what might happen on the en banc as well.
Well, I'm leaning towards them being in cahoots with their communist buddies and doing it at this level and getting it over with so it doesn't spread out to all the rest of the states. And that would also be an indicator of a lot of insider trading going on, so to speak, on who's running the what show.
Yes, and I mean, so if Mueller wants to limit the fallout from this decision to California alone, she'll just rule in our favor and the state won't appeal it. Then it only applies to California.
Yeah, I bet that's probably the way they're going to go then, under the circumstance.
Well, look, Mark, I don't want to be... I hate getting my hopes up because I've been handed my ass about 100 times doing that, but I can't help the atmosphere in the courtroom. I can't help but get my hopes up. And if she does that and the state fails to appeal, which they really should, in deference to their commie buddies back east, then this will only apply to California. The legislature can get busy and try to figure out how to outdo us again. But if it goes to the Ninth Circuit and we win at that three-judge panel that gave us the unanimous decision, then it's Hawaii and California that are affected. Only states in the Ninth Circuit would be affected. But if it goes to the Supreme Court, the entire United States would have permitless open carry.
Well, it's interesting, too, is that, okay, let's say that she rules in your favor at this point. Does the state follow the law anymore?
Well, they wouldn't have any choice in this matter because once the Ninth Circuit rules, Chambers versus U.S., that affects every judge in the Ninth Circuit, and so we just start open carrying. It doesn't matter what they want to do. We just start doing it, and they couldn't do anything about it.
Well, there's nothing to charge you with.
There's nothing to charge you with at that point. The statutes are stricken, and you just act, it's the same, for the same reason you can wear two different colored socks. It's not against the law. We could open carry because from that point on, it would not be against the law.
Well, then you could always sue them under title, what title is it that, denying you a constitutional right or a civil liberty?
Well, Title 18, 241, 242, and Title 18, 1983, or Title 42, 1983, yeah. But also we could sue them for false imprisonment and false arrest.
As individuals as well, because they would be operating out of the scope of their office.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So if Mueller finds in our favor, we have a ruling in federal court that affects California, end of sentence, that's it. The state has already argued that no, California is a shall issue jurisdiction. My attorney said, no, it isn't. Read 25850. It says may issue, or excuse me, 26150 and 155. It says may issue. And then the state's attorney said, and here's would be the key. Well, the attorney general wrote a letter saying that it's shall issue now, not may issue. Don't you believe him? And the judge asked, don't we believe him? And we said, absolutely not. We don't believe a word that guy says.
When did he start writing law? You know, that'd be my question. I thought the legislature wrote law and he was supposed to uphold it, not write his own.
Well, that's precisely true. So that bolsters my case for saying that once the judge strikes 25850 and strikes 26350, then it is no longer against the law to openly carry a weapon loaded or unloaded in plain sight by lawful individuals for the peaceful purpose of self-defense. It would be no longer unlawful, and you start carrying. Now, what could happen and probably will happen is, even if Judge Mueller ruled in favor of us, and I got to tell you, I am not discounting that possibility entirely. A little part of me has the stupid hope that she'll do that, and there's some evidence for that. She would probably stay the outcome for a certain number of days, giving the state time to appeal. I doubt that Judge Mueller would never make that injunction immediate in nature. So once it's decided, even if she rules in our favor, there'll be a period of time, 10 days, 30 days, whatever. So the state could appeal to the Ninth Circuit if they want to. But after that, once that period of time is over, it would not be unlawful to openly carry without permission. And what good would concealed carry permits be? Because why would you want to try to get one?
Right.
Why would you want to spend the money? Why would you go jump through the hoops? I mean, you know, gosh, get an Arizona concealed carry, then you can concealed carry in 37 other states, and you can openly carry in your own state without permission, and have that be good enough.
Yeah.
Well,
very interesting.
I'm hopeful. I am hopeful.
Well, it's nice to see a light at the end of the tunnel here. Let's just hope it's not a train.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Even if it's a train, we can stand against that if we stand together. And if we don't stand together, then we will certainly fall together.
Yeah. Well, we either hang together or we're going to hang separately, I guess, is the way it goes.
But please, everybody, look, I know this is – everybody's going to the well these days. We need help. But please, we need help. We can win this. And it would restore an extremely important part of liberty that's been lacking in California for many, many, many years. So please, please help to the highest degree that you possibly can. And when we come out with functions and events, please attend. If you can't attend, buy a ticket anyway. Give donations generously. Your liberty is at stake here. I do whatever I want pretty much, and I live in a very remote area. Nobody even cares what we do up here. I'm not doing this especially for myself, although it is for my children and grandchildren. But everybody regains their liberty. Everybody does. Mm-hmm. So please help us with that, because we can't do it alone.
Well, you know, it's like the founders said, they pledged their lives, their honor, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. And it's kind of like where we're at, you know. I mean, I guess I'm going to remain poor if we keep going down this road.
Well, I have to say that Veterans Day, we commemorate the service of millions and millions of Americans to preserve the life, the liberty, and the property of the entire world. Arguably, we fought foreign wars to preserve liberty in Europe and in Asia and here at home. And, don't discount that service. Stand for it. Support it by doing what you can to preserve liberty, domestic liberty, guaranteed you by your God and the Constitution of the United States. And if you allow that to slip away, well, this country is lost.
Well, I think you got to fight the good fight no matter what. No matter what the odds are, no matter what you think the outcome is going to be, you have to do the right thing. That's my opinion.
And you don't have to live in California or even in our county or anything to give to this, because this goes across all states, all lines, however you want to put that. So every little bit helps for bringing this case forward. It takes a lot of money. It's surprisingly how much money that it is costing or has cost to get this far with the case. So every little bit helps. We welcome everything. And we do appreciate the support that we have received and will be receiving in this.
And by the way, none of the principals of PECON or anybody involved in this case or any of these other things that have been happening with PECON as far as fundraisers or whatever, not one thin dime has gone to any of the administration. Everybody who works at PECON has worked for free since day one.
And to clarify on that, Mark Baird has not touched any of the money, just to put it out there.
Yeah, I don't touch it. It goes straight to PECON.
Yep.
PECON pays the bills. PECON doesn't pay a bill unless they get an invoice. It goes to the attorneys or the printing office or, you know, all of those things. But, yeah, and I am so grateful because I know people have given very generously.
Yes,
and
they have.
I almost hate to ask, but I got it. We can finish this. We can see this through. And what a great day for the people of California, because no one in the United States of America expects that we care a lick about our liberty. Let's show them that we do, and let's show them that we can and will do something about it.
Well, we're starting to get national attention on a lot of different fronts up here in Northern California, whether it's the voting issues. And I'll tell you what it tells you is it tells you that we're over the target. As soon as you start getting this kind of feedback or this kind of, response from the left-wing extremists across the board, whether it's gun rights or voting or rigged elections or whatever it happens to be, the fact that we're getting all of this attention shows you that this is exactly what we need to do.
Yeah. And if we simply change the way we vote, we can kick these bums out of Sacramento, and we can maybe get our own state or at least begin to turn the pendulum back toward the right and regain liberty in the California that we do have.
And at that point, maybe we can, have another state here that we could call our own.
Amen to that. I support that wholeheartedly.
Very good.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Mark, again, for bringing all the information to us and spending the time with us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Mark.
Well, thank you guys for all the work you do, and keep up the good work, and God bless you both.
You too.
All right. Very good. Thanks,
all right.
Mark.
So, again, if you want to send a donation, you can send it to 14421 Old Oregon Trail, Suite B, Redding, California, 96003.
All right.
And I'm sure they're going to call us more names now because we are over the target more.
I've been called every name that you can probably think of and then some, and here's my response. I don't give a rip.
I know. but it's funny how they ramp up the calling of names and disinformation, how it speeds up faster the more that we do. Right.
You guys are the liars. You guys are the extremists. You guys are the right wing. Oh, you're the insurrectionists. That'd be you.
Well, I have some bad news on the news front specifically. There is an organization.
I was going to say, you want to bring it up after the break?
Yeah, we got
to. Because we do need to take a break, and then you can have your say over there. How's
that?
That'll
work.
All right. And with that, we're going to take a break, and we will see you on the other side.
I don't know what you've been told, but time is running out. No need to take a slow. I'm stepping to you toe to toe. I should be scared.
Do you have that dream of a book burning a hole into your soul? It's not too late to join us for National Novel Writing Month to make that dream a reality. Find us at NaNoWriMo.org to connect. That's NaNoWriMo.org. And of course, this holiday season, we want to thank our troops, both active and retired, for the opportunity you've given us to make these dreams come true. So we give a big salute to our troops.
Lauf's Landscape Supply at 6023 Churn Creek Road offers a wide variety of products for all areas of your yard or landscape. Whether it's bark or soils, gravel, a retaining wall, Eucart concrete, sod, pond supplies, erosion control, and much more. You'll find it at Lauf's Landscape Supply, a proud sponsor of Operation Holiday Salute, to thank our veterans and the brave men and women who are currently serving in the armed forces this holiday season. Lauf's Landscape Supply, part of Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR.
This holiday season, join the all-new tradition of lights and festivities for the entire family at Redding Garden of Lights.
Taking place November 17th through January 7th at Turtle Bay's McConnell Botanical Gardens.
At the Sundial Bridge in Redding, California.
Explore over 10 acres of outdoor illuminated gardens featuring over 1 million lights. Plus holiday-themed food, drinks, music, and so much more.
Redding Garden of Lights, presented by Mercy Medical Center, Redding.
Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Considering the purchase of an e-bike, why not get more bang for your buck? Redding Electric Utilities e-bike program offers $1,000 towards an e-bike and $150 towards a lock and helmet for income-eligible applicants. With gas and car prices on the rise, there's no better time to take advantage of the new cycling connections in Redding. Join the movement to save some green while going green. E-biking means more fun, more trails for your tires, and more smiles per mile. Find out if you qualify at cityofredding.org/rebates.
Seems like these days, no matter what you say, someone's losing their ever-loving mind. It's like they're looking for a reason to have their fragile feelings hurt every single time. My country truck, I gas it up. You got your fancy Tesla hooked up to a plug. I know you're mad, you think I'm bad. 'Cause I'm breathing free at last and you're still stuck behind your mask and I'm offended. You're offended. Let's all get offended tonight. I'll order us a beer. We can sit down right here and scream and yell at us and fuss and fight. Now hang on just a minute. You can't amend the First Amendment. You're offended. I defend it all the time. Let's take another sip. Don't hold back and let it rip. 'Cause in the end you'll be left and I'll be right. And I'm offended.
Yeah, I'm pretty offended too. Maybe I'm pretty...
No, I'm not.
I'm kind of offensive.
Well, that's true. You're offensive. I'm not offended.
Maybe I'm offending.
Fender? Fendi?
An offendor?
I'll leave
that one. Hey,
all right, so, Dave.
Take it away, Dave. You're up.
All right, so in the local news front, there's over 20 U.S. grant-making foundations have announced a $1 billion initiative to start and expand local news in America just ahead of the 2024 elections. The foundations are universally affiliated with the Democratic Party or leftist causes, but they have promised to be non-political during what they call...
Sure!
Oh, yeah, I believe them. I trust them. They never lie.
Just look locally how that's working.
During what they call news deserts throughout America. Indeed, as they highlighted, over the last 20 years, 2,000 local newspapers have shut down. That's about 20% of the American cities have no real local coverage, and that, based upon their argument, is bad. In no small part, because local outlets cover not only local events, but help root out corruptions and abuses of power. So this thing is put together by a whole bunch of Democrats and leftist organizations. It's called Press Forward, and it's a national initiative to support the revitalization of local news. Now, on its face, that sounds great until you start looking at the people who are behind it.
It reminds me of the Peanuts cartoon where Lucy swears she won't pull the football away again.
And this is the same company that oversees our local media.
Yeah.
Just putting it out there.
Well, while we're on it here, one of our supervisors did get on OAN.
Yes, he did. The chairperson did.
Did a report on the voting stuff. I highly suggest. I'll put it in the Facebook page. Also, I guess we should announce that there's going to be a supervisor fundraiser to support Patrick Henry Jones for District 4 at the Anderson VFW Saturday, November 18th. The doors open at 4 p.m., dinner at 6. And that's 3210 West Center Street, Anderson, California. and join us for a night of dinner and auction. Tickets can be purchased online or in person at Jones Fort. And you can go to www.jonesfortboardofsupervisorsdistrict4.com. That, boy, that's a long one.
Yeah, unfortunately, you got to get the whole name in there pretty much on those.
So I would just call Jones Fort. But get your tickets. It's $50 per ticket or $400 per table. I will be at that event for sure. And
you're not the only one.
Hopefully we'll see you there.
Yeah. Wynn and I, we're always there.
Yeah, you're
and Linda, yeah. And there's a few of us. But, yeah, if you want to donate something, give Jones Fort a call at 530-222-3223 or stop on by there to buy tickets or donate. So with that, we'll try to go to the caller. We got David on the line. Good morning, David. Are you the one out of San Francisco?
Yeah, sure am.
Yeah.
In American history, there were a couple of times when a company town got started, and you didn't use U.S. dollars in the company town. You used company script.
Okay.
You know about that, right?
Yeah.
Well, when you start thinking about the Trump fraud trial, that's what he's trying to build. He's trying to say $17 million
Hold on a second. The Trump fraud trial... He's trying to build his own currency in some town? Is that what he's saying?
He's trying to say that something that's worth $17 million is really worth $1 billion.
Oh, please.
We're done.
Yeah.
Stop. Cut him
Bye,
off.
Bye, yeah. Cowards.
Go ahead.
Your argument is so stupid. Being in real estate, you have no idea what
you're talking about.
That's why Trump's going to win the case. All right. That's just so stupid.
Okay, and now we have followed up by Andy. Is Andy there? I don't have anything.
Hey! It's Andy from Bernie.
Hey! Hey, I'm out fishing. Hey, I got a...
Hey, and you're going to call in and you're out fishing? Really?
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to drive 11 miles. Hey, Jim Willie. Oh, first off, I cussed to the gal. I said, ding dang it. And I still got through. Anyway, Jim Willie this week said that the aircraft carrying support vessels in the Eastern Mediterranean are skeleton crews, which I found alarming. Can you guys still hear me?
We're listening.
You're coming in great, actually.
Great. And then another thing, I brought this up on the other show last week, and I had it confirmed by a Tunisian gentleman I know about the other canal they want to put in. We got the Suez Canal, the Red Sea. They want to put another one, and they want to use nuclear devices to dig the canal. More importantly, by getting Gaza out of the way, it's a straight shot. Otherwise, they have to dogleg to the east, northeast, to get around the Gaza Strip. Isn't that interesting? And I've heard it also, on the radio, with Dan on the radio, he had a woman, he put her on, and it was just a tape of her explaining this, that they do want to do another canal because Egypt's collecting billions of dollars. And where it's built in Egypt, it requires a tremendous amount of maintenance because of the sand. Further east and north, where they want to put this other one, is rock. And it'll take, and they'll build it bigger and larger to accommodate modern day vessels. But I just found that interesting. Is that possibly another reason for the conflict in Israel?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't even seen any of that, so I really can't comment. I don't like to talk about things I have zero knowledge of.
Well, I understand, but a guy on the street brought it up to me. Do you know why? And I told him, and he was surprised that I knew this. But I take in a lot of internet stuff through the week while I'm working.
Right.
Anyway.
Well, it's an interesting. I'll look into it and see what I think, but. I don't know. My take on it is that this is just about the military-industrial complex doing what it always does, and they get fed all this money from our government to pay for everything.
Absolutely, they need to start a war. What's his name? If they can't win, they take you to war. Gerald Celente.
There you go. And then what they do also is they get kickbacks of all these companies and all these governments. I mean, just, what do you think was going on to the cash cow out there in the Ukraine? You know, you send them $40 billion and just a few million ends up winding in some offshore bank account under an LLC that's connected to 20 other LLCs that nobody knows about, and the big guy gets 10%.
Yeah. And they got to fund both sides of the equation, so they know that they're going to get money back.
Right. How many of our representatives are dual citizenship? That should not be. They should not be elected into office. More importantly, they're buying stocks in the munitions companies.
Well, that's when you're insider trading, that's legal when you're in the Congress.
When you're government.
Yeah. Well, they quietly said, no, you can't do that. And quietly, in the dark of night, they made it lawful again.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Hey, I love what Mark was saying. I got to donate more, dang it, but it's worth it for my children.
Yes, it is.
We got to do it.
Well, we appreciate the support.
Very good.
Yep. Hey. Anyway, take care. Thank you so much for the show.
All right. Thanks,
All right,
Andrew.
Thanks a lot.
I do want to go back and address a little bit of the reason why we cut Dave off. You know, normally I just don't want to hear CBN and NBC and LSD's talking points that we already know it's just a bunch of crap, and it's just waste time on the show because, you know, if you understand anything about the case other than the talking points from NSNS, LSD, and CNN and the Communist News Network, you know that that's all baloney, and we'll see what happens in the case, but...
Well, that's the whole thing, is ever since the beginning with Trump, everything's been a lie. Lie, lie, lie. You know.
Exactly. So I don't want to listen to any more lies. Yeah. I mean, I understand enough about real estate and valuations. I'm being in the real estate game for, 25 years. I kind of understand how, you have an appraisal done and a disclaimer. And if you don't, maybe you need to go reread.
Well, yeah, if the people lending the money didn't have the appraisal done, shame on them.
Right. So stupid. And then, $18 million, he's undervaluing it. Except that now it's worth like $18 billion.
And let's say, he borrowed money and paid it back with interest, and that's a problem?
It's just stupid.
Yeah,
that's why I cut him off. I just don't want to get into the land of stupid. So, anyway.
Because, never mind.
Right. So, anyway, we got, I was given a note here. That we want to let everybody know that Patrick Jones is going to be...
They're having a forum?
Well, there's some kind of interview going on with Steve Bannon on Monday. So we might want to keep our ears to the ground on that and figure out what's going on with that. That should be interesting, Steve Bannon. Well, it seems like all of a sudden we're getting a bunch of attention. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
You know, all of a sudden, you know.
Well, no, and I think maybe we should do a show about this sometime. It's not just right now. It's been happening. If you go clear back to before, like, Modi recall and stuff, right. And when we started doing different stuff, how we've got traction and notoriety across the state, and then how the state has made laws.
Right.
As soon as we
do
something.
You pass a law to make sure
you can't
count your own votes.
On the recall, then we had the problem,
What I'd like to do is I'd like to give David a homework assignment. Why don't you go research Biden's son's laptop and then come back with a report on how much money they've gotten through their LLCs and into his account for 10% on the big guy thing. Then I might want to talk to you. Other than that, pound sand.
So what if he collected money? He didn't do it directly, though it was delivered to his doorstep.
What gets me is that you're going to impede Trump, and everything they've ever brought against him has been dropped, proven
a lie, false,
all of it. And now all of a sudden, that's what you're going to bring up. But we've got an impeachment case inquiry on the board right now on Biden with provable checks going to Biden from China,
to
Ukraine.
His house.
Well, let's talk about Trump and his valuation of his property where there was no victims and everybody got paid. And, okay. Really? Just, you know, go back to stupid. So let's talk about something else.
Here. So killer jab, 24% say someone they know died from COVID-19 vaccine.
I didn't say that.
So that is a new Rasmussen report that was out. Nearly a quarter of Americans believe someone they know died from the vaccine side effects, and even more say they'd be willing to become plaintiffs in a class action lawsuit against vaccine makers.
Well, you know, and it comes out that they were skewing all the data on the deaths. They hid the data on the deaths on the trials. You know, yeah, that's just all conspiracy theory because even though it's true. You know, you just get tired. It's like, you know, and these people that can't see the light in the forest through the trees because they're too busy looking at the branches, don't want to see the truth. And that's the whole point. You know, when I think about these people, they don't care. They don't care about truth. They don't care about facts. All they care about is their narrative and their agenda. And so why do I want to talk to them anymore? I don't even want to acknowledge that they have a brain anymore because they don't. The real deal is if they would start having a reasonable conversation and not promote gaslighting facts and propaganda, I might want to talk to them. We could even argue the facts, but that's not what is going on.
That means they would have to think for themselves and do some homework and educate themselves.
Right. You know? And you know, you go to the CDC website and they tell you this is what happened. You look at the paperwork. You do your own homework. You think for yourself. And after a while, you know, it's like the Lucy and the football analogy. If they lie to you every single time, do you keep believing them?
Well, and it's our side, too. So this is from Red State.
I don't have a side.
it's magic words.
You know what my side is? My side is the truth. It's like, oh, you know, we got the troll talking about LaMalfa. Yeah, I'm not real happy about LaMalfa's votes the last few times. I'm not real happy. You know, Kevin Kai turned out to be kind of a rhino. You know, he's been voting. He voted to expand the FBI's building. I don't like these guys
either.
Yeah,
how crazy was
that? Right where I'm at.
So yeah, that was so crazy.
Steve Friend ended up putting out this tweet, and he put it out on the 9th. Last year, I brought protected whistleblower disclosures about the FBI weaponization to House GOP. They used it to go on TV and to get elected. I lost my career, and I'm under FBI investigation. Today, the House GOP voted to give a FBI $300 million headquarters. So soulless demons go to hell.
Well, these guys are going to eat themselves. It's just like the paper that we talked about where they're firing all the white people. Oh, yeah, hey.
There's no discrimination or anything going on there.
That's because you're white. You can't be racist if you're not white.
Yeah, that's going back to the same people that you were talking about.
But they're
going to
eat themselves. So let's go.
We've got Lori on the line. Good morning, Lori.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Just wanted to reiterate a little bit on the election night that we just had. Tuesday after the Board of Supervisor meeting, and if people want to see exactly how our ROV, Kathy Allen, is conducting herself, behaving, all the rest, and how we keep mentioning how unprofessional she is and how she's not transparent, this whole thing with that 7-foot wrought iron fence inside the building.
I noticed that whoever was taking the video was inside the wrought iron fence, so maybe
yeah,
there's
that,
special.
That was
privileges.
Donnie.
And I kept saying, hi, Donnie, waving to her. And it was like, I don't know, maybe a five-minute video. And this was minutes after my delay. I just wanted to vote.
I just want to know what constitutes the press. In other words, what gives you the badge of being an actual journalist? Does that mean you have to go to school? Does that mean you have to get a press pass? Do you buy a credential from somebody online? What?
See, that's their way of trying to silence and censor and try to diminish my process of asking legitimate and valid questions about the fence, the cost. She has a receipt. If you have a receipt, that means you bought something, you purchased it, you had it installed. And then she tries to gaslight me and try to embarrass me or intimidate me with her male staff standing around. Good grief.
I'll tell you, that guy wouldn't intimidate a 10-year-old, quite frankly. You might want to lose the hair a little bit.
Yeah. So let me get this straight, you know, government official, a county official that uses our money to buy stuff, doesn't know the price. She can just, you know, order something up and have it done no matter what the cost is without researching it prior.
I'm going to paint a line. Out in front of the ROV's office, and it's going to be like $500,000 because I'm good.
You guys, you do remember Joe Comente doing that with the plexiglass sneeze guard thing?
Yes.
$9,000, Sinorama. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. He did that on his own, and it took a long, long time because we patriots, citizens, kept asking and demanding answers. I'm sorry, that stuff just does not fall out of the sky, unlike chemtrails and all the rest of those chemical crap. Plexiglass does not fall out of the sky, and the fence, 7 foot? Apparently it cost 25 grand or whatever, but I tell you, the more I kept asking and pressing, because, I just wanted to vote, and I was delayed 10 minutes, 15 minutes. I was told to go sit against this black rider on fence. I felt like a prisoner. I'm like, this is kind of annoying. And they couldn't give me answers. That's, again, her staff cannot tell me. You just have to do a vote and then put it in the drop box. That's your only choice, Lori. They couldn't have done that. So, again, she had to storm into my face and get all flippy and snarky again.
Right.
And she's actually yelling at me at the end of it.
I saw that. I want to go back to the fence. I wonder, did she pull a permit and get it through zoning and everything in order to put that fence up? Just asking.
Linda, Mark, Dave, everyone, great questions. I'm not the only one asking. Laura Hobbs was there. Bev Gray was there. Other people. And, of course, when that video went Facebook Live, in walks the usual players, of course. And apparently Susan Barrymore was there all day and into the evening. Again, she's wanting to run for Tim Garman's district, too, I believe it is. So there's a lot of things going on, folks. If you are not attending to the meetings, and I know they're disgusting at times and time-consuming, but this is part of the fight. Or watch the videos. Email your board of supervisors. There's so many ways to be involved. But
yeah, if
I'm
nothing else,
you
can go online and watch the.
Yeah, some of us do that quite a bit.
Watch the online videos or the live feed because you know, I can't always attend. I'm actually working most of the time, believe it or not.
As we all are, because we have to work harder and longer to make it through Bidenomics. But she also in the article, not just the video that's linked in her story. Is this Karen Clankley, some representative from the Hart thing? I never spoke to that woman. Yet it's misinformation that I was. I only spoke to Bev and to Laura. I didn't want to talk to anybody else near me. I was ready. I needed to go, actually, but I felt compelled to kind of stay and see what other shenanigans or disturbances might occur once I saw those two key players start to show up, because that never works out well. All they do is live online and make attack videos. So, you know what, Donnie, you kind of did a favor by putting that video out because it exposed exactly who Kathy Allen really is, and we've been saying this for the longest time. So, yep, lots going on. Fence,
yep.
The relocation of the office, and your $40,000 raise, was that right? I'm sorry. There are people that go ask her if she needs knee pads. Was that part of the fee for her raise? Just saying.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm always listening, you know, like I was like two meetings ago, and they're talking about, oh, they're so concerned about how Jones is spending the money. But how many people got a $40,000 raise that are knitting in the audience?
Also, remember, she cost the city of Shasta Lake City like 80 grand.
That's what I'm saying. It's
yeah.
Like, but
yeah.
How do you get a $40,000? That's a lot of money. $40,000 raise?
Richard Gallardo has put together, 16, 17 points now on the problems of Kathy Allen. I'm sorry, we are done with this. And if we can't fire her, she was elected somehow, selected by all the machines. This is why they will not let go of the machines, folks, and that is an absolute reason. And people keep saying, if you have nothing to hide, hide nothing. Open the doors. Lots of
well, it's just interesting. As soon as we went to a hand count, they passed a law that we couldn't. Gee, I mean, I understand, but the real deal is when you're sitting there spouting off about transparency and free and fair elections and we're doing a good job and everything's accurate, but as soon as you go, well, we'd like to check. Well, hey, you're an extremist and you can't do that. And we're going to pass a law to make sure that you can't see what the actual results are by, making sure that they are fair. We want more ballot boxes.
Nope.
Come on. You know, you can't have it both ways. You can't, and then you lie about everything, but we're supposed to believe you about anything.
No, and be there as a safety precaution, because the far extreme ones are starting to get really, they're salivating, they're getting sloppy, they're getting, this fentanyl thing, I really don't believe it. I think this is another false flag, inside job, just to make it look like the people who simply want answers were somehow blamed as being extreme.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'd believe anything anymore. I don't know. Anyway.
Anyway, thanks.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
It's about the end of the time.
I have one thing right here. There's 14 mega corporations that own all your supplements. Just let that sink in.
Mm-hmm. They don't own all my supplements.
I'm just saying, for the most part, for people out there that are getting their drugs and supplements and all that, yeah, we're back to the same corporations owning everything.
I make my own supplements. It's called Fresh Broccoli and cabbage and carrots and bell peppers and corn.
You just got to be careful.
Cauliflower. Yeah,
it's interesting to me how many of these big pharmaceutical corporations also own the drugs. And it's also interesting, like, the one-a-day drugs, there's a lot of them out there, but there were some studies that were done on them, and the people that actually ended up taking those once a day ended up having higher rates and instances of cancer.
I do want to say before we go, we're going to be doing a special interview with one of the people that is suing the big pharma company about the remdesivir. I had a talk with their attorney yesterday, and so it looks like we're either going to get them on a podcast or a radio program either in the next couple of weeks, and about the remdesivir and how it's affecting. Her husband actually died from the remdesivir application from the hospital. So it'll be an interesting one. Anyway, I think we're at the end here.
There we are.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fires, a dangerous servant, and fearful master. And we'll see you next week.
Next time.
All gun controls are racist. See ya.